This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Oh, it's an exciting night here, my little darklings. This is the Paranormal 60 News, X-Files, The Evil Dead, and we have a ghost edition. We've got special guests dropping by, Thomas Lane, to talk to us about his book, The Karma Factor, and a brand new paratune from Night Demon. We're going to be talking about ancient evil on their song. You're going to want to be here for that. Stay tuned. We've got it coming your way next, right here on the best in all paranormal entertainment. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is the Paranormal 60 News. Thank you for tuning in tonight. I want to thank our new sponsor. Get the help you deserve, BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/P60 today. You'll get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/P60. I am your host, Dave Schrader. I am in a good mood because I use BetterHelp. You should too. There's no shame in the game. If you need a little bit of help, BetterHelp has helped me, and I hope that it'll help you as well. I know we're all living in a weird world, and I want you to know that you can reach out, you can get help, and with BetterHelp, you can find a way to get help for you that feels good, is comfortable, affordable, and works around your schedule. So please check it out. Again, go to betterhelp.com/P60. You'll save 10% off your first month. All right, let's get to it. We've got a lot of cool stuff going on tonight. New songs. We've got some emails a little bit later on from you, our listeners. Let's go in order of how they entered the room. I am your host and anchor for the night, Dave Schrader. Joining me from somewhere inside a dark, desperate bunker, somewhere in the heart of Texas, the Colonel, Martin.
Oh, how are you, Dave? Happy Friday.
Yeah, happy Friday, buddy. Thanks for being here with us, spending a little time, getting ready to share some news.
We got thanks
a
lot for of good ones.
Yeah, of course. All right, ladies and gentlemen, he was the first to whine about not having a link, but he was the second to show up. You do the math, ladies and gentlemen, the paranormal detective, Greg Lawson.
You know, I'm just about the show, Dave. Just trying to push
you
forward.
It looks like it's like, are you in Alaska right now where the sun is just starting to come up in the day? You've got that low light setting. It's just kind of like it's just breaking through the window. Like I should see you with a nice cup of Joe, maybe your morning paper, your dog, your slippers. Colonel, he's not having this. Apparently you're using your FBI powers to knock him offline. Hopefully we'll get the Colonel back in here. Also joining us, ladies and gentlemen, all the way from the great state of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. You know him. You love him. The Fonz's cousin. It is Chachi. Now Greg is gone.
Thank goodness. I'm so glad I entered late because look what happened. Now it's just me and you. When you said somewhere from a dark, desperate bunker, I knew it was Greg, but I was wrong.
Yeah, you were wrong. It was
listen, it's going to be good.
This guy. Oh, the Colonel.
Hey, Marty.
Yeah. Oh, you were talking about getting me alone?
Yeah.
Hit so I'm thinking
one wrong button.
Boys, let me throw this out to you, and I want to hear from our audience. Email me, dave@paranormal60.com. What do you think if once in a while, maybe once, maybe twice a month, you get the Paranormal 60, how about the Rock and Roll 60, where we get together, talk about some of our favorite music, some of the music that influenced our lives. We'll take favorite songs from the listeners. We'll talk about some of the stories behind those songs that we loved and grew up with so much. and just kind of expand each other's musical knowledge with some fun facts, stupid stories, and lots of laughs. What do you guys think? Would you guys like to do that? Would you like to do the rock and roll 60?
See that? Heck yeah.
I would absolutely love that.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what, though? We got to make this unanimous. Greg, what do you think?
Sun's coming up. I'm in.
All right. Good. Wow. Did you? What happened? Do you get knocked off the line? Is something twister blowing through Texas again? What's going on?
I don't know. Could be a twister.
You're safe, I hope. All right. We've got news to share. A lot of cool stuff coming up. Next week, folks, we will have a brand new episode of the Paranormal 60. We'll also have a brand new episode, believe it or not, of the Paranormal 60 News. We're going to pre-record it, but it will air live for you guys next Friday night. And then while we're on the cruise, we're going to be recording two live episodes with my crew. Am I allowed to say that?
Or I see what you did there.
Yeah. That's we're going to be two live crewing it aboard the Jericho Cruise. We're going to do Jeff Dye is going to be our guest on the first night on Thursday. We're going to talk Bigfoot, Sasquatch, ghosts, haunted theaters, and more. Then on Saturday, we're going to be recording along with two amazing pro wrestlers with paranormal in their blood. Awesome. So they'll be joining us as well. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll all be sporting our brand new Paranormal 60 gear, and it'll be me, Chachi, the Colonel.
I'm missing a name. Is there four of us, Dave?
He's going to be busy with the Kling brothers. He's hanging out with Brad and Barry Kling.
Wow.
Doing something with them instead of with us, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I've missed the Kling 60 show. I don't know.
It's all about scheduling, Dave.
I'm very jealous, and I'm a jealous man. I don't like sharing my men with other men.
Well, let's go ahead and move ahead, Dave.
Wow, yeah.
Is that weird? Fast forward through this segment.
Oh, really? Okay.
Different segment.
All right, we have some news to share with you, some cool, weird, creepy, spooky, ooky stories. Hey, super chats are on, super stickers are on, super thanks are on. If you feel like giving a little love and nod to the crew, feel free to make those donations as the show progresses.
Yes. Yeah.
Let us begin. I don't know if you guys heard this news. I'm going to Egypt in mid-February, and they keep finding amazing things in Egypt. They just dug up a mummy that's swaddled in gold. Yeah. They find all these incredible things out there, and you've all heard of the Book of the Dead, right?
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, here's something a little trippy. They just unearthed a 52-foot-long scroll from the Book of the Dead. Wow. Are you ready for this? Yeah, they found it in Saqqara. This story originally was slated for the Colonel, but because he has done so much for our country, I decided to tackle the Egyptian words in this for you, Mark.
Hey, thanks, man. I do appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Archaeologists in Egypt have discovered a 52-foot-long papyrus containing sections from the Book of the Dead. More than 2,000-year-old document was found within a coffin in a tomb south of the Step Pyramid of Djoser at Saqqara. There are many texts from the Book of Dead, and analysis of the new finding may shed light on ancient Egyptian funerary traditions. Conservation work is already complete, and the papyrus is being translated into Arabic, according to a translated statement, which was released in conjunction with an event marking Egyptian Archaeologist Day back on January 14th. This is the first full papyrus to be uncovered at Saqqara in more than 100 years. Mustafa Waziri, Secretary General of the Supreme Council of Antiquities, said, according to the statement, the Step Pyramid of Djoser was constructed during the reign of the Pharaoh Djoser, which ruled around circa 2630 BC to 2611 BC, and was the first pyramid the Egyptians built. The area around the Step Pyramid was used for burials for millennia. Indeed, the coffin that housed the newfound papyrus dates to the late period, circa 712 BC to 332 BC. And Zahai Hawass, Hawass, see?
How are you?
Marty? Yeah, pretty
How
good.
How are you?
Yeah. Egypt's former minister of antiquities told Live Science in an email, information about who owned the papyrus and its precise date will be announced soon. The Book of the Dead is a modern day name given to a series of texts the Egyptians believed would help the dead navigate the underworld, among other purposes. This appears to be the second papyrus containing texts from the Book of the Dead that have been found at Saqqara in the past year. Back in 2022. You guys remember that way back then?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Here Golden we go. Yep. Holy cow. Nancy Hayes, thanks for the love tonight on the show.
Whoa. Yeah. We'll take her up on
Holy
that.
Holy cow. Oh, Donna, yeah. Thank you. I appreciate you popping in thanks, as well Donna. To give us a little love and support.
Donna.
So last year in 2022, a 13-foot fragmentary papyrus containing texts from the Book of the Dead was found at Saqqara in a burial shaft near the pyramid of the pharaoh Teti. It had the name of its owner, a man named Pakwef, written on it.
How do you spell that?
Whatever.
P-W-K-H-A-E-F, Pakwef.
Yeah, no wonder he's dead.
Yeah, the discovery was made by a team of Egyptian archaeologists from the Ministry of Tourism and Antiquities, which has yet to release images of the ancient document. According to the statement, the papyrus will soon go on display in an Egyptian museum. They can't release it, but gentlemen, we can. There it is, the Book of the Dead.
Look at that. Nice.
Look at it.
Yeah. That's you guys a fan of the Evil Dead movie series?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
One of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God, Chachi, I just realized your shirt. Hashtag moist beast.
I've read it.
I just saw my shirt.
I just read it.
Did you have you been working out this week? Because that shirt looks
a lot smaller.
You notice my chest is bigger. The words are smaller, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
crazy.
That's how you do it, man. That's how you do it.
That's a good shirt. Here's a cool piece of information. In my private collection, I don't like to brag. But I'm going to brag. I have an actual page from this book from the movie The Evil Dead, and it's signed by Sam Raimi.
No, get out of here.
Yeah.
Get out
it's
of
one
here.
Of the pages that blew up and was like floating around in the room in one of the scenes.
Right.
I got it.
How did you come across that?
Yeah, how did you get that?
I can't tell you. Hey, thank you, Mariah. We appreciate it. I appreciate the support. Cool Using spell. My other account to send this. My son and I both love watching and listening to your shows. Always a great viewing. Thank you. And
shout Lena, out to your son.
I noticed you as well. Thank you, Lena, for popping in there. Loki also for popping in and Always. Showing a little love
Thank you,
while Loki. I was reading the story. Yeah, amazing stuff. Awesome. Let's see. Eric, you've got kind of a follow-up to the story I just read here.
I do. Look at follow-up. Me.
Yeah, I know.
Follow-up.
Right. That's why I said, Eric, you have a follow-up to this story.
All right, let's see. Everybody's got their drinks in hand?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have trouble with this one?
Yeah.
The first sentence kind of got me, so we'll see if we can do it here. All right?
Uh-huh.
Bruce Campbell is understandably curious about a real-life Book of the Dead. Legend has it that it was written by the Dark Ones. Necronomicon Ex Mortis.
Wait, the what?
Oh, yeah.
The what?
Necronomicon. What?
Necronomicon. You freaking.
That's what
you
I
know
said.
What? In the East Coast, though, we call it Necronomicon.
Wait, Marty, what was that? On the East Coast, you say what?
Back in the East Coast, where we happen to both, well, not me, but Eric. We call it something different. And
Necromonicon.
That's it right there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Not mama coming.
Yeah.
Not mom coming.
All right. So Bruce Campbell is excited because he's seen information about the real Book of the Dead.
Yep.
Legend has it written by the Dark Ones, the Necronomicon Ex Mortis.
Roughly translated as the Book of the Dead. The book served as a passageway to the evil worlds beyond. It was written long ago when the seas ran red with blood.
That's my running with blood.
Blood. Noise. That was good.
That was good.
Yeah. And it is at the heart of the Evil Dead franchise. I'm not saying
what is at the heart?
I'm not saying it.
Oh, the Necronomicon?
Listen, I'm from the Northeast. Necronomicon.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
What did you call it first? First up, I bet you can't even do it again.
Necronomicon. Isn't that what I said?
Oh, is that what you said?
No, he said Necronomicon.
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 There's a lot of people listening that like to move on with the story.
Necronomicon.
Actually, they're like, no, I don't want to.
No. Okay.
So it is a diabolical tome, T-O-M-E, that summons demons that various people just can't help reading aloud.
Mm-hmm.
Star Bruce Campbell, who plays the chainsaw-wielding Ash Williams across multiple movies, TV shows, and video games, can attest the chaos usually follows. Mm-hmm. So it's all too understandable that Campbell's ears pricked up now that a copy of the real-life Book of the Dead has appeared. Fortunately, the Egyptian Book of the Bed. Come on! We're like 10 minutes into the show.
The Book of the Bed.
Listen, I have that book, okay? It's a great book.
I can't wait to see that one.
I've read that one, and it was
It's a picture book.
It's a little
picture book.
It doesn't seem to summon flesh-hungry demons as far as we know. A more accurate translation might be the Book of Coming into the Light, and it's essentially a guide created to ease a soul's path through the Egyptian underworld and into the afterlife. This particular example was found inside a sarcophagus. How do you like that?
Wow. Very good.
Yeah, I know my words. And spending thousands of years nestled in alongside a creepy mummy sure sounds spooky. But the Day of the Dead. Nope.
Go on.
But the dead are uniquely in need of its lessons. Even so, perhaps best to err on the side of caution and don't read it aloud.
Heck yeah.
Elsewhere in the franchise, Evil Dead Rise is almost ready to go. Originally intended as an HBO Max exclusive, the movie will now premiere at South by Southwest in Austin in March and go into a full theatrical release the following month.
Really? I'm looking forward to that. Have you seen the commercials for this movie?
The Book of the Bed?
Yeah, the Book of the Bed.
That one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. Let's do a real quick impromptu, and I'm going to get to the song, but I want to do a quick impromptu kind of upon further review, since we're talking Bruce, and he's one of my favorites. Have you guys ever seen, and I'm trying to pull up the name of this movie, My Name is Bruce.
Oh, yeah.
Bruce Springsteen?
No, actually not. It's a clever little horror movie comedy where this town unleashes an ancient evil and they don't know what to do. Bruce Campbell happens to be in town signing autographs at like some convention. So they kidnap Bruce Campbell to bring him to town to deal with the evil. And as soon as he gets there, things get worse because he's just an idiot. My
he
name
is himself. Bruce. In other words.
Yes. Okay. My name is Bruce is the name of the movie. And it is a clever, fun little movie. That's one of the few shows. He was in town in Minnesota while I was live on the air doing my radio show. He called in to promote the screening. We talked. That's one of the few guests that had me stammering and acting like Eric reading that last story.
Ooh, ow.
Very what? What? Yeah. It was awkward for everybody involved. But it was a great movie. I wouldn't say a great movie. It's a fun movie. Out of five Phantoms, I would give it a solid 3 just for the concept.
All right.
It's not a great movie in the sense of high concept.
It was bloody. A fun movie.
It's a fun movie. Kind of in that vein, like Bubba Hotep, his other movie.
Yeah, it's exactly. A fun movie. I like it.
Yeah.
Dave, have you ever reviewed a movie that you gave one Phantom to?
Oh, my God. The Babadook gets a negative.
Come on.
Horrible.
Babadook.
That's one of Babadook. The best.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. Ooh. Did you
get this connected? Ooh, something happened.
The internet in Texas is rough.
The Babadook is horrible. Oh, let's not fight about it.
It's time now for Paratunes. Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's awful early for that, isn't it?
Not at all. We've got a song that's going to play right into this. I just got done talking about ancient evil.
Yep.
We just talked about the Necronomicon. Here is a song by Night Demon. The song is Ancient Evil.
Long ago in a distant land, lived a
Yeah, that's that Ancient Evil song.
That was good. That was good.
That's our first metal song.
Yeah.
That reminds me so much of 80s hair metal. That is awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that's if like you took Judas Priest and Sebastian Bach and put them together and say, go out.
Sebastian.
I checked out their website, as you guys should as well. Looks like they're getting ready to kick off a tour here in like 6 weeks.
Awesome.
Yeah. Wow. They've got new albums, new music. This is actually one of their old songs. They sent me two songs. This is the one I chose to play since we were talking about the Necronomicon. Ancient, I don't know if you heard the song a couple times. Great song. Fun song. Mm-hmm. We may have another one of those coming up. All right, guys. It's time to get your stuff together. We have an author joining us. Ooh. Try to act like you're adults here, would you?
Okay, we'll
like
do.
Try to make this seem a little bit more classy. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a brand new book out and available. There's a link for it on tonight's show guide, The Karma Factor. How about that? This is the book. We have the author joining us right now. Thomas Lane is here. Thomas, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thanks.
Awesome. This book is out, available right now. People have got the link through there. Cool concept of this. And this is a what type of genre do you call this? Is it metaphysical spy? What does this fit under?
Well, that was one of the interesting problems I had in terms of how the folks wanted to market it, because it's I would say it's 80%, you know, cops and robbers, and then it's backlit by kind of some ancient spiritual concepts like karma and that. Mm-hmm. So we ended up calling it a metaphysical thriller.
A new genre. Yeah. Amongst timeless vision, an assassin's revenge, and a New York cop caught in the middle. That's The Karma Factor. Normally, we don't have novelists come on and share time with us because they don't, you know, most of the guests don't want to give away what the book is about. But I wanted to make sure to promote this because this falls into kind of a cool subgenre. So many people that love our paranormal show also love true crime, and they love detective stuff. So give me some of the concept behind what inspired you to write this book.
That's really a tough one because there's so many different factors that come in and say, you know, look at me, examine this, whatever. I would say in one way is that I have two threads going through me as a person. One is, you know, a regular guy. I love rock and roll. I love mischief. I love adventure. I also had a billowing, all-encompassing imagination growing up. And that began to translate into literature, The Hobbit, and magical things like that. Mm-hmm. And then it moved into a kind of a more spiritual Eastern culture type thing. So I had these two different opposing factors going on. And I wanted to write something that showed, you know, grit and toughness and hardness, but in amidst the seams, there was some beautiful things, magical things, and things that, you know, that can change your life, which is, and it's about a cop who's really on the downside. He's ready to take himself out, and he finds himself and creates a situation where he's going into the lair of a bad guy who's got a machine gun tucked under a pillow. And Detective James Early, who's the hero, leaps in front of it, hoping that the bullets will take him out, and the bullets get diverted. All of a sudden they're going through a hole in the sky in Arizona. And so now he's stuck with, why me? What happened? What am I supposed to do with this? And that leads into a quest that takes him to Tibet in the past and the corridors of past lifetimes and New York City, where he's based as a NYPD cop. And all of that helped me unite sort of conflicting viewpoints.
It sounds amazing. I just got the book today. I'm heading off on my cruise next week. I'm planning on bringing it with. I'm going to read it and pass it off to Eric. I know he said he wanted the copy when I got done with it. We're going to be sharing it amongst the group in our new little book club, I guess, we're putting together. Mm-hmm. If you have one that has pop-up pictures, we could give to Greg and Marty for the next time.
I'll work on that one. That would be great.
Thomas, have you ever had a connection to the metaphysical or the paranormal plane?
Oh, yeah.
Could you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, I've had experiences with ghosts and things that are not of this realm. Mm-hmm. I've had moments where, and I would really set the scene so I could have these moments, because I'm always looking for those opportunities to be outside the sort of spell, shall we say, mm-hmm. of normal human life, and that I look for opportunities, and some of them have gone into these kind of paranormal things. Some I would have to just call as just spiritual, where things were connected in a way that was not plausible or possible for me. Mm-hmm. When I'm drenched in making it through another day.
Right.
But, and the other side of me that came in here is, well, just the values of social justice and things like that, that also the sense of it being bigger than this humdrum existence helped fuel me to do more in terms of just helping out my brothers and sisters, you know?
Very cool. Well, is this the first time you've dabbled into kind of the metaphysical realm with your writing?
No, I'm a musician and a poet, and I've written all kinds of stuff, but I've been off the grid, shall we say, in my mm-hmm. head, off the grid. And I wasn't interested in stardom or pushing myself out there or fame or glory. But I, like a lot of folks have with the amount of stuff that's going on now with the climate change and just mm-hmm. the shootings we've been seeing, it's just everybody has to do a little bit more, I feel. And I felt that I had to make myself get away from my own comfort zone, get out there and write this book. The book had been written, but get it published and promote it and do all the things that have led me here to visit with you.
Excellent. Now, I know we've got a link for it on Amazon. Yeah. And I believe there's a Kindle version and the hardcover. Are you offering autographed copies on your website or anything that people can find?
You know, I haven't even thought about that.
Okay.
But that's a thought. Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe people can reach out to you. What's the best way to find you and communicate with you? Or are you off the grid where it comes to no. social media and, no, no, and no. all of that?
No, I'm here. I really am.
Okay.
I'm jealous of Thomas being off the grid, actually.
Exactly. Oh,
if you can afford it, man, it is so, it's so important. I could really find my own voice, you know, when I wasn't listening to undue influences coming in from everywhere else. My website is thomaslane.com. What a coincidence. It's got my name.
That is crazy.
Unbelievable.
How'd that happened.
Yeah. You know.
That's, well, not everybody can just happen to buy a URL that also links up to their name, but that's awesome. The book, again, The Karma Factor, it's out and available right now. There's a link for it on our show guide. So for those of you listening to the podcast only version of this, the link is right on there, or you can go to thomaslane.com to find more information as well. Thomas, before I let you go, is there a ghost story, an experience you actually had that you'd share with us?
Yeah.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you've got one, I know our listeners would love to hear it.
I was sifting through things.
Gotcha.
This is not my normal brand, but I had been able to contact folks that were floating around without bodies every now and then, ghosts, disembodied mm-hmm. spirits. And somebody invited me over to exercise. They were having problems. They felt there was some presence in there. So, and I was honored and I felt very vastly unqualified to do such a thing. But I did, I went over there. And as I was walking around, I saw this image of a woman sitting in a chair in the living room, and it was a bad vibe. And so I tried to flow some energy, some good energy, some good vibes. And then it seemed to dissipate a little bit. And then when my friend came back in the room, he said, "What'd you find?" I said, "That chair there, did something happen in that chair?" He said, "Yeah, that was the chair that the woman who used to live here died in." And so that happened.
Wow. Did that change your perspective of the world and mm-hmm. what's going on around us? Does it give you a different, you know, kind of a look into the music and creativity side of you or being an artist and an author and a musician, were you already kind of tapped into that? Do you believe?
Yeah, I was tapped in you know, as I said, I was looking for alternatives and trying to stay grounded at the same time, which is a chore. I know you guys know that.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, I explore it. I really, you know, I don't have learned not to accept the first take on anything and mm-hmm. try to hang in there a little bit longer, see what it'll tell me. If I just stay there and look and listen and be open, and there's wild stuff going on. I don't spend a lot of time there, but it's one of the places I go to.
Well, please, when you write more and you've got a new book in our kind of field of interest, please let us know. And if you have any songs that have a paranormal slant to them, bring them on. We'll be happy to play them as a paratune here on our show and introduce our listeners to them.
Well, that's very kind. Thank you very much. I'll take you up on that.
Thank you very much. Thomas Lane is the author. Right. The book, again, The Karma Factor. It is out and about. The link is available on tonight's show, so you can find it. Looks fascinating. I'm excited to read this because I'm going to be doing a lot of traveling. So, Chachi, if I don't get finished with it on the cruise, I'll bring it back from Egypt when I'm out there.
You know, Dave, when he said, if you can afford to go off the grid.
That's right.
I was going to mention, with what Dave pays me, sadly, I cannot.
Oh, wow.
Listen, I'm at the point where I can't even afford to be on the grid, so I might have to.
How much does the grid cost anyway?
Yeah, the grid, that grid nowadays? The
grid's expensive.
The grid is quite pricey, but let's do this. We have to take a couple of minutes to pay the bills.
Really?
Again, let me remind you, we're welcoming our brand new sponsor.
Join us for this amazing paranormal conference that's being held in a haunted school in Glen Beulah, Wisconsin. Haunted Midwest Ghost Tours presents Great Lakes Paranormal Conference on September 22nd through the 24th, 2023. We have some great speakers with Jason Hawes, Adam Berry, Sherry DiBenedetti, Lyle Blackburn, Shane Pittman, Sarah Lemos, Dave Schrader, Jeff Bellinger, along with Wisconsin's very own Chad Lewis, and many more will make this one of Wisconsin's most talked about events. We have over 40 vendors and nighttime investigations at various haunted locations with special guests. Get your tickets now at GreatLakesParanormalConference.com and find us on Facebook under the same name. Choose from VIP, General 3-Day, and Day Pass. Again, that's GreatLakesParanormalConference.com.
The brand new Paranormal 60 t-shirts are here. We have sizes ranging from small to 5X. Prices between $25 to $30 a shirt. And you can do some savings if you buy more than one shirt on your shipping costs. We have the Paranormal 60 emblazoned across the front. Show your pride in your favorite paranormal program and four different backs to choose from. My favorite, of course, Don't Scare Me, I Poop Easily. We also have Words is Hard, which is the mantra of every Friday night. You can prove that you're a Darkling by getting the shirt with Darkling on the back, or you can get one that just proudly states Paranormal Talk Radio, paranormal60.com. Shirts are shipping right now. So if you're interested in purchasing a shirt, email me, dave@paranormal60.com. Tell me what size shirt you need, how many you need, which design you'd like, and include your shipping address and email address. We will send out an invoice to you. Once you pay that invoice, we'll get the shirt processed. You should have it within 2 to 3 weeks. Don't delay. Get your Paranormal 60 shirt now while they're available.
Haunted Magazine is packed full of the paranormal, stuffed with the supernatural, sautéed with spookiness, garnished with ghosts, and even drizzled with a dash of demons. If you want histories, mysteries, ghost stories, hauntings, weird stuff, freaky stuff, and more supernatural than you can shake a stick at. Come and see Haunted Magazine for the world's best paranormal writers. Visit www.hauntedmagazineprintshop.com for your latest scare. Remember, kids, don't be normal, be paranormal.
Come on out and see me. I'll be in Richmond, Virginia, March 24th through the 26th at GalaxyCon. And if you go right now and get your tickets, you can save 25% off by using code GALAXY25, all one word, GALAXY25. You can get more information about where I'll be this year at GalaxyCon. I'll be at all four of their conferences around the United States, including the one in Austin, Texas, where not only will you get a chance to meet me, but you'll get a chance to meet the entire Paranormal 60 news crew. So if you can, sign up now. Go to galaxycon.com, see all the amazing guests that are going to be on hand, and you'll get a chance to hang out with your favorite paranormal radio host and his buddies. So go check that out, galaxycon.com. All right, we are back. We've got more stories to share. We are, believe it or not, only two stories in to our eight stories for the night.
Stories?
Long night.
Yeah, but
long night.
Now that we're back into it, now that we're ready, let's call upon the paranormal detective to deliver the news.
Oh, wow.
The only way he can.
I'm next.
You are up, paranormal detective. What are we talking about next?
Oh, we're talking about a viral ghost. David Harbour is a viral ghost in new Netflix movie. Yeah, y'all know all. Everybody knows David Harbour. Haunts. He's going to be haunting Anthony Mackie and Jennifer Coolidge in a new trailer for the Netflix horror comedy We Have a Ghost. You know, there's a bunch of these shows coming out lately, mm-hmm. A lot of these ghost stories. So Netflix used to be known as the company that rented DVDs via little red envelopes sent in the mail until the release of the nostalgic 80s set. Horror series Stranger Things established the company's reputation as creators of their own massively popular streaming content. Yeah. And along with the exposition and explosion of Netflix came the arrival of Harbour, whose performance as Stranger Things chief Jim Hopper made a longtime character actor into a genuine star. That's right.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yep. While audiences eagerly await the final season of Stranger Things on Netflix, they can enjoy a different kind of Harbour performance in upcoming We Have a Ghost, a horror comedy from Happy Death Day director Christopher Landon. Y'all all know Christopher.
He did Happy Death Day. He also did that freaky movie where it was
right.
Vince Vaughn and the cute little blonde do the Freaky Friday swap.
Little House on the Prairie. Killer. Yeah.
That was a weird rejoinder. I don't think that's it at all. But anyway, looking forward to it. But it looks like a good movie. David Harbour's in it. Looking forward to that. He's pretty good. He's in the movie Violent Night.
I was going to say, did you guys see that? I haven't seen it.
I did. It's on, I think it's on Hulu or Peacock or Amazon or Netflix or something. I just keep naming them off. I'm about to be right.
Yeah, you'll hit it eventually. Yeah.
Yeah.
On this one, he's giving off strong vibes of Beetlejuice. And we have a ghost trailer also teases the White Lotus Coolidge in a juicy role as an online medium, along with MCU's Mackie as a dad trying to cash in on being haunted.
Yeah.
That's a good one, right?
Yeah. Okay. Looks good. Sounds good. We'll have to see it. All right, Dave. We should figure out if we could do a watch party because once it comes out, when does it say it's going to be released?
Yeah.
Is it February 24th?
It will be released.
Yeah. There's nothing in the article. However, the article does say, after finding a ghost with a murky past haunting their new house, a family becomes an internet sensations and then becomes targets of a shadowy government agency. Yeah. Mm. Mm-hmm. Back to you, Dave.
Now you've said that before, and then you
said okay, say, then,
yeah. Right. So
I'm just double checking. Are we
through this?
Okay.
Or may look like a plot dreamed up by Netflix algorithm. When they provided the keywords of David Harbour, Beetlejuice, and Stranger Things, the movie is actually based on a short story called Ernest by Joff Manaw. Yeah, the Ernest.
Jeff.
Joff. I don't
know. Either one. It works.
G-E-O-F-F, Joff?
That's yes. Jeff.
British. It's British. It's Joff. Joff. British.
Joff.
Hey, can I finish Joff. This Ernest title?
We thought you have four or five times, but please continue.
Yeah. In fact, refers to a titular ghost. Titular. Ghost.
Hey.
What? Come on now.
Spell it.
Family show.
T-I-T-U-L-A-R. Titular ghost. Jeff. It's like something, that, you know, it's because he looks like something. So who's named that because he resembles the actor Ernest Borgnine. Back to you, Dave.
He's lying.
Really? Are you sure?
He's lying.
Joff. Words is hard. Mark G is so correct.
Come on.
You are a grown adult man
who has probably interacted with thousands, if not tens of thousands of people in his life in law
ten
enforcement.
Did you just say 10 of 1,000?
Yeah.
You have interacted with 10 of 1,000.
Can I tell you what? Mm-hmm. Listen,
my pillows are.
You've never ran into a Jeff before?
Yes, J-E-F-F. G-E-O-F-F is Joff. Joffrey, Joff, you know, like the giraffe.
The ballet.
Wow.
It's British.
Words is hard.
Okay.
Yep, there you go, Aaron. You nailed it. Yep.
Aaron. Right, hit it on the nail.
Good.
Names is hard.
Hit the nail on the head,
hit
Mark.
The nail. What did he say?
Hit it on the nail.
Hit it on the nail. I got to write Biff. That one down.
He's like Biff from Back to the Future. Why don't you make like a tree and split?
There you go.
I don't think that's what
it on the nail. All right.
Let's see. Oh, right. Hey, the Colonel's up. Everybody.
Awesome. Grab your glasses.
Come on now. Give me a little bit more.
Some respect. All right.
Listen,
go for
Dave,
it.
Dave, X-Files star David Duchovny admits he never cared much about UFOs.
What?
Yeah.
Bullshit.
I know. Jeez. The X-Files star. David Duchovny admits that the X-Files star, David Duchovny, admits that he never cared that much about UFOs. Duchovny became a massive TV star playing the UFO-obsessed FBI agent Fox Mulder for the better part of 11 seasons on Fox Network's The X-Files, pairing for the most part with Gillian Anderson, Dana Scully. Before it was over...
Dana
Scully.
Okay. Dana and Joff are my favorite.
Come on.
Dana and Joff.
Before it was over, Duchovny's run as Mulder would also include a pair of theatrically released X-Files feature films. Given the types of stories told by the X-Files, stories often involving government cover-ups, conspiracy theories, and other mysterious going-ons, it should come as no surprise that the series attracted the attention of a lot of fans with their own interesting obsessions. Yep, there you go. But it may come as some surprise that Duchovny himself never shared fans' obsessive fascination with the mysterious... The mysteries the show tackled on a weekly basis, and indeed was never anything like his character, Fox Mulder.
Paranormal 130, here we go.
When it came to being fascinated by the subjects of the UFO and alien encounters, appearing on Jimmy Kimmel Live, Duchovny addressed recent news stories about UFOs and admitted he's totally out of the loop. I'm so out of it. And so old, really, that I was doing an interview and somebody was asking me about UFOs and they said something about this new UFO cake or whatever. And does anybody DM you? And I was like, oh, DMUs, is that what they call UFOs now? DMUs. I haven't heard of this DMU. What does that stand for? DMU. Dematerialized.
30 years in the
this
military.
Is the Colonel. Demilitarized.
Come on. 30
come
years.
On, come on.
Military. Unidentified. I never did really pay attention to the UFOs. I just got the scripts and I did my best.
Much like Marty powering through the story.
There you go.
Push through, man.
Duchovny surely never could have predicted when he originally took the role of Fox Mulder that 3 decades later, he would still be talking about the character and his UFO obsession. But The X-Files was indeed left that kind of lasting legacy, continuing to influence the television scene to this day. There you go.
Demilitarized.
Back to you.
I said demilitarized eventually, okay?
He said what did the they UFO call that? Session?
Oh my
god. Or obsession.
What was that show he was in on was it Showtime?
Californication.
That was a good flick.
It was funny.
It was a series actually.
Very funny. Yeah. Well written.
I don't know.
He did another movie, and maybe somebody in the chat room could throw it up. He did it with Minnie Driver. I can't remember the name of it, but it's an interesting movie where his wife dies in a car accident, and she is a donor transplant, and her heart ends up getting into Minnie Driver, and how Duchovny and Minnie Driver's characters end up coming together. It's a really sweet little romantic comedy, and I think it's the last movie Carol O'Connor did. But it's if you haven't seen it, if anybody knows what I'm talking about, which would be rare because nobody seems to ever know what I'm talking about, Return to Me. Mm. Thank you, Shell Bell.
Isn't that Chelly Belly?
Yeah, if you read it like like Greg and Marty. Thank you.
Chelly Belly.
Or is that Cahell Bell?
Cahell Bell.
Cahell
Wasn't
Bell.
That Superman's dad, Cahell Bell?
Yeah, that was. Even Yo Mama. Hey, guys, Yo Mama says that was a good movie.
Oh, yeah. Darn right, Yo Mama.
Yep, and Lucky Gypsy 13 Agrees. That is a good movie. So there you go.
All right.
Thank you very much, Cahell Bell. Yeah,
Mark is on it. Look at that.
The stammerings of Marty do not necessarily reflect the views of dictionaries anywhere.
that's too long to hashtag, Mark. Right?
Wow, that is a good one. Holy Christmas! Wow,
no punches tonight, man. No punches.
We're gonna be. We don't get to see you really for another couple of weeks, guys. No. We're only doing next week's Friday show. Well, I guess you guys aren't going to miss much. You'll miss like one show because I'll be gone in Egypt, but we've got some stuff in the hopper, so we'll be all right.
Aren't we doing the show?
Yeah, I won't get to see.
Yeah, we're recording Tuesday. It'll run next Friday. We'll be recording over the weekend. It'll run the following week.
That's a little confusing here. We'll just why don't we just say that it'll kick be off on your at some point.
At some point. Yeah. That is correct. All right.
I'm not going to get to see you guys for a while.
Yeah,
could have, but
but you were clinging to a different job, I guess. Let me see what we got here.
I like that.
People believe in Bigfoot and other pseudoscience claims. A new core study may explain why. The Psychology of Pseudoscience is the name of a new course that examines claims of the unusual, led by Craig A. Foster, professor and chair of the Department of Psychology at the State University at New York College. Professor Foster states that while teaching a course on research methods at the United States Air Force Academy, I concluded that the course needed a bigger emphasis on a broad scientific reasoning skills. So I incorporated material about the difference between science, the systematic and systemic process of evidence-based inquiry, and pseudoscience, which is the promotion of unreliable scientific claims as if they were more reliable than other explanations. I wanted to understand why people promote claims that conflict with science. I jumped at the opportunity to develop this type of course at SUNY Cortland. We look at some of the common scientific reasoning failures that pseudoscience exploits. These include handpicking anecdotes to support a belief, developing a set of beliefs that explain every possible outcome, promoting irrelevant research, ignoring contradictory information, and believing in unsubstantiated conspiracies. It sounds like everything we stand for on the show, this guy's trying to take apart.
He is.
We particularly highlight, he says, motivated reasoning, the tendency for people to process information in a way that helps them confirm what they already want to believe. For example, some might accept scientific consensus about cancer treatments, but question it with regard to vaccines, even though both are supported by strong scientific evidence and expert consensus.
Yeah, especially the COVID vaccine.
Yeah. We also review group polarization, in which people develop more extreme positions after interacting with similarly minded group members. Some of the topics we examine include the flat earth belief, creationism, Bigfoot and other cryptozoological ideas, psychic ability, conversion therapy, anti-vaccination, astrology, ghosts, and climate change denial. It's really weird that it's like psychic, flat earthers, Bigfoot, ghosts, and then vaccines.
I'm just very uncomfortable with this, all this.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to fit in there. Students complete two papers to reinforce their knowledge. First, students develop their own bogus scientific claims and a corresponding plan to convince people that their claims are legitimate. Allowing students to invent and promote novel forms of pseudoscience gives them a safe context in which to examine specious scientific arguments. Second, students review old issues of Skeptical Inquirer, the leading national magazine about science and critical thinking, to summarize the topics that were being addressed at the time. Students also dive more deeply into a specific topic like unexplained cattle mutilations or the Bermuda Triangle. Then they write a paper based on an example I recently published in Skeptical Inquirer. I'm hoping that future column installments will include students' works. The course prepares students to identify dubious scientific claims. In so doing, they should become less vulnerable to being drawn into pseudoscience. The course also enhances familiarity with specific forms of pseudoscience. I expect climate change denial, anti-vaccination, and creationism to remain major hot points of contention in American society for decades. Educated people should understand the discussions that occur around these kinds of social problems. So this guy would tell you that I didn't just vanish, that it was an illusion. Did I vanish? Did it work? No.
It did.
No,
first time.
Not working anymore. Yeah.
First time it worked.
Oh, Marty's
Look
gone.
At Marty. Look Whoa. At him beaming in.
Beaming in.
I don't know how he does it, but he does. It looks like he is transporting in.
Yeah.
Wow, you're fancy. Yeah.
You know, the Skeptical Magazine, I used to take that. I read it online also. Listen to a lot of the TED talk and stuff that from some of the editors and stuff. And it should be called Cynical Magazine. It shouldn't be called Skeptical Magazine.
Although I like I said, Michael Shermer, Dr. Michael Shermer, who's Dr. deeply Michael involved Shermer. In entrenched, he's very good and he's open and has a good charisma to him and a way to explain things that doesn't seem condescending. Ben Radford also feels that I feel that way about Ben Radford. There are other people that are in the skeptical realm that I feel are much more.
I've seen Michael Shermer roll his eyes. So,
well, sure. Yeah. I don't mind rolling eyes. I even roll eyes at some of the claims that come.
Skeptical. But the time when Greg's.
Yeah. That's not skeptical. That's
I got you.
Disgust.
That's cynical. Yeah. That's
Eric, disgust. You're up. Chachi, you got a story for us? Let's see what
skepticism is healthy.
Yes.
Right. Don't blindly
skepticism. Skepticism. Skepticism.
This is why I don't go back and watch these things.
Hashtag moist beast.
Hashtag moist beast. We have a few front runners for next week's shirt already, by the way.
Do we? What are they so far?
I like the dark, desperate bunker. I just don't think it'll cross my chest.
Yeah.
That, what was that? P-W-K-H-A-E-F, whatever the hell that was.
Yeah.
It sounds like Pakoff, but
yeah.
I liked when you said burial shaft. That really hit me in the heart. Burial shaft. I don't know what
hashtag
it was about
burial
that.
Shaft.
Yeah, hashtag burial
good,
shaft.
Good choices there.
Mm-hmm. I like hit it on the nail.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was really I like that one.
Nail.
I like Goff.
Yeah,
Goff
and Dana.
Dana, John. Yeah, D-A-N space A.
Yeah,
Dana. And then you know, I that's all you guys, but I will kind of admit I screwed up cold the whole Book of the Bed.
The Book of the Bed. Okay.
I can see it right now. The Book of the Dead with the little leather and everything. The Book of the Bed is like have a nice comforter on it. And,
exactly. Yeah. The cover will be like a quilt.
Yeah.
It's quilted with maybe a face.
I'll wear a shirt. I'll wear a quilt. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Have a headboard.
All right,
Chachi.
Where are we going next?
Quilt. Okay. Headboard. Poor sleep could Speaking possibly be linked to a belief in ghosts and demons or demons.
What?
Yes. There's a reason things tend to go bump in the night at the Lawson House rather than in the day. And it may be for reasons more mundane than you think. It appears it has more to do with poor sleep habits. Building on a body of research tentatively linking beliefs in the paranormal to sleeping disorders, a University of London-led team signed up a large online cohort of nearly 9,000 people to see how the two things lined up.
Mm-hmm.
The sample was self-selecting, and believe it or not, overwhelmingly white and two-thirds female.
Mm.
They evaluated
a lot of pumpkin spice involved in this.
Mm-hmm. It was done in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They evaluated a range of sleep variables for all subjects: sleep efficiency, duration, latency, insomnia symptoms, together subjective sleep qualities, they called them, as well as the dreaded sleep paralysis and something I've never heard of called exploding head syndrome.
Oh,
or
yeah.
EHS.
EHS, bad.
I've had that after a night of drinking.
The latter was an entirely new one for your Backpage correspondent. It's a sleep disorder characterized by loud noises or a perception of explosion in one's head during wake-sleep or sleep-wake transition. Six paranormal beliefs were also measured: ghosts, souls that persist after death, communication with the dead, near-death experiences evidenced for an afterlife, demons, and that aliens have visited Earth.
Mm.
All paranormal beliefs predicted all sleep variables, meaning the more people believed in any of the above, the more likely they were to have all kinds of poorer sleep. As for the two dramatic sleep disorders, there was a positive association between EHS and belief that aliens had visited Earth, while sleep paralysis was associated with the belief that near-death experiences are evidence of an afterlife. There was a U-shaped relationship between belief in souls and insomnia, suggesting, the author said, that the uncertainty may be keeping some people awake at night. I can totally see that. But more generally, the direction of effects will require further research to establish. In other words, give me more money. The results, they say, could encourage clinicians to keep and consider sleep issues rather than more serious psychiatric disorders when a patient professes belief in supernatural beings and experiences. Incidentally, and this is important to note, hot chocolate with milk at bedtime rather than scotch is indicated if you are having trouble nodding off.
Get out of here.
That's what they came up with.
Yeah, I'm
that's not a good idea.
Listen.
Oh, I'm doing it. I'm going to do it.
What are you going to do?
You're going to go with the hot
chocolate. I'm going to do the hot chocolate.
Yeah.
No, you don't want to do that.
Yeah. Hot chocolate's good. I do. You know what? Not the chocolate. Get rid of it. Just the hot milk. The hot milk. Just that. Does that ever? Oh, man. Did you used to do that as a kid? Get a little cup of hot milk.
Steep
to help you sleep.
Ice cold. Ooh. Oh, no. Ice cold. Oh,
ice cold bubbly
that
milk.
That wrenches up my stomach.
My mother would say, would you like a nice ice cold bubbly milk? Would you like a nice
bubbly milk?
Yeah, that's what
bubbly
she
milk. It's called beer.
She was a farmer.
Dragon's milk. Sign Chachi up for a nice cup of dragon's milk. Hey, I've got an email here from
Greg loves emails.
Jim Baker.
Yeah, Jim.
He says,
Evangelist?
Hello, gentlemen. My family have watched you since we discovered Ghost Adventures and every project thereafter. You have conducted all of your projects with integrity.
What?
Except for putting this team together. So I feel like I can trust you to be honest in your answer. My older brothers and I were spending the night at our grandparents and had the same experience one night. We would camp out in the living room floor and make forts with blankets and TV trays. I woke up during the night and looked out of my fort opening, and I saw a white apparition of a woman. It was the exact height and shape of our grandma. Even down to the beehive bouffant hairstyle, it was the 70s. I was telling my grandma about it when she came from home from work, not knowing that my brother had told our grandpa the exact same thing. It could not have been her because she worked third shift as a nurse. We've talked about this often, and it has left us with many questions. These are the top questions. Is it possible to see an apparition of a living person? Yes.
Yes, it is.
Grandma is still alive today at the youthful age of 91.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Congratulations, Grandma. If not, could an entity take on the appearance, shape of a living person? Like, imagine sharing. Yes, that's called a doppelganger. But I think people use that too loosely. because I don't believe that all doppelgangers are evil. I think we are seeing, why wouldn't we be haunting ourselves? How does a residual haunting know to start the minute we die? What inspires that moment? I think it's taking place around us all the time, but we just don't pay as close attention to it because, oh, well, grandma's home, so you're hearing noises you would normally hear. But then you remove grandma from that element and we start to hear those noises. It must therefore be a ghost. I think some of this is time slip phenomena. I could be wrong, but that's what I believe. Mm-hmm. Is there a significance to the apparition being white instead of black or in detail? Thank you, sir, for your time and thoughts to our questions. Respectfully, Laura Baker. So, Laura, I don't understand. For clarification, I'm not saying it was the apparition white, meaning pallor of skin like me, right, instead of black as in African-American?
No.
Black, or are you talking like white and gray as opposed to a dark black inky shadow-like figure?
I think that's what she was talking about.
I think, I'm not sure, but yeah, that's right. So the significance just could be, you know, it's like everything has color to it. But if you take a threadbare sheet and hold it up, you can see the image of Greg and Chachi and the Colonel through it, but they're kind of white and gauzy. And maybe that's what it is it's just through that little, that temporal rift we're looking through. That's what you're seeing, that hazy, milky version of grandma. I don't know. And it could be something else that I've been talking a lot about. You know, maybe you should have asked, had grandma nodded off that day? Had she taken a little siesta in her car, maybe nodded off at her desk at work or sitting on the loo? Because maybe for a few moments she was out spiritually traversing and just came by to visit family. There's also, now this is where I start getting kind of weird, guys, with this stuff, right? You know that moment when you just kind of like, you're sitting there and all of a sudden you just kind of,
it's not good.
And you're there physically. Yeah, it's not good for radio, but you just kind of phase off and you look off into the distance and you're aware of your surroundings, but you know you're not here so much.
It's my whole high school career right there. Yeah.
Explains a lot about the reading ability.
Yeah.
So let's see. Come on. I'll take in shots. So it could be that maybe we're going through our own neural net, going out, reaching out, checking in on our loved ones. It's this kind of etheric Ethernet version of our spirituality. And apparently this is resonating with Greg as he tries to drink the pain away from my explanation. But I don't know. I think there's a lot of different variables that could be taking place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you tell a really good story about that vision that you, I think you had of your grandmother, right? Where there was one story of seeing you in the living room.
No, this was actually a listener shared this with me, and I've shared it on the show a bunch of times. But the concept that his grandmother was sitting in the living room one day watching like Jeopardy in the middle of the afternoon, and three shadowy figures walked in and stopped in front of her, stared at her, and then turned and ran out of the room. And the house had never been considered haunted to that point. Nothing else really major happened again after that, but that was enough to kind of label grandma's house as haunted. Grandma passed away a few years later. The guy and two of his buddies happened to walk into the living room, and there sitting in the chair was the specter of his grandmother. And they saw it and freaked out and ran out of the room, and he stopped and he thought, oh my God, this is exactly what grandma saw, but it's from the other side. Who's haunting who?
Right. Yeah.
That's a good one. It's an interesting concept of how that all goes. Oh, sure enough. I don't know. I could be wrong. Maybe.
Yeah, Dave, something about that is you know, we're talking about skepticism,
mm-hmm,
or, you know, pseudoscience and all this other stuff. And, mm-hmm, and all that skepticism, pseudoscience, and our parents, Christianity, and all of that tries to tell us not to pay attention.
Right.
Do not pay attention to the things that you experience. Mm-hmm. Talk them away, push them away, ignore them. So I think it's really interesting if you could imagine if you actually paid attention, if your parents encouraged you when you were a kid, mm-hmm, when you told them about Beelzebub showing up and talking to you, the little purple boy that would talk to you in your room or whatever it was. And they just went with it. you know, and, right. And some people
would it have say, well, strengthened like, that muscle? Would it have given that ability, not shutting it down?
Right. Right. And, you know, because you can assess meeting to all of your experiences instead of ignoring it, you know, because most of us, we go through the day and things happen to us and we absolutely ignore them. Mm-hmm. But if we just spent a little more time going, wow, that was a little weird, or wow, I can relate that experience to something, you know, as a metaphor, and learn something from it. But anyway, just the dickle talking.
If there was ever a time, wait, I'm sorry, what did you just say?
Yeah, I'm drinking George Dickle, so it's the dickle talking.
Is that a neighbor? Hmm. Who's Mr. Nah,
Dickle? It's George Dickle. It's a whiskey.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. Oh boy,
Greg. Listen, Dickle, you heard
I don't give Greg a lot of kudos, but Greg, that was good insight there, buddy.
Thanks. It was.
Thanks. I'm writing a book about it.
You should. Is that why?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right. I am writing
a little bit of marketing there, but okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mr. Garrison, let's go.
What's next, Marty? I like Marty's Marty's inner African American mother that comes out in the
last week. He was James Bond with the martinis and the button-down shirt.
I know. This week, he's all judgy wudgy.
I love the new judgy wudgy.
You've got a story to share with us, Colonel. Let's see how you can do as we go.
Please tell me it's about the demilitarized zone.
It is, actually. Yeah,
taking them to Ireland.
It's about Irish paranormal hunters left astonished after capturing a ghost on camera at a 300-year-old castle. Irish paranormal investigators have shared footage of what they believe to be a child ghost at Duckett's Grove last week. The group known as Paranormal Supernatural Investigations on Facebook were given permission to investigate the magnificent location. Come on now. Where they had a number of sightings.
Wait a minute. How would you spell astonishing?
The magnificence of it all.
Magnificence? I gotta see it. I gotta figure out phonetically. Magnificence.
Look at Greg. Greg, Mr. Oh, leave him alone. He can't. He's turning purple. Look at him.
Even your biggest supporter's turning purple.
I know. Mm-hmm. Look
at I got bad lighting in here, man.
As they headed down to Carlo Laster's Tuesday to look deeper into the activity of the historic castle, home to the Duckett family, a spokesperson for the group wrote, "Our first main investigation of the year kicked off here at Duckett's Grove last night. A huge thank you to Carlo County Council for giving us permission to investigate this
magnificent location.
Hey, Loki's got some advice there for you, Greg. Breathe.
The weather conditions were perfect for paranormal investigations. Overall, the night was active. Uh-huh. We will be posting our findings in the next few days. Mm-hmm. They used a new device, Dave.
Did they?
Phasmatron GD2000.
Is it significant?
Yes, it is. Which proved popular in the investigation and helped them capture some pretty terrifying ghost sightings. Sharing the first image, which appears to show a figure looking at the camera, they explained, while we were walking around the side of Duckett's Grove, the Phasmatron was pointing to the side of the building and had activated. There's a picture of it right there.
I can't.
Okay, Mr. Bed.
Mr. Bed, I like the name.
Look at the bed here.
Let's take Mr. Bed.
Hashtag Mr. Bed next week.
Hold on. Let me get my paper. This narrowed down to the area for us to focus our equipment on.
This picture was taken at that exact area from the member of the public. We were all astonished when we were all viewed this picture. The second image was shared later, and they describe it as a picture that we believe is a ghost of a child that were taken at Duckett's Grove last Tuesday, 17th January, 2023. Speaking about past nights at the castle, the spokesperson said Duckett's Grove would be in the top three locations for PSI Ireland in regards to carrying out paranormal investigations. One week ago, we investigated here And we would have to say that Deckett's Grove is very active in paranormal terminology. We had a very interesting and eventful night. We used a few devices that we believed would be of a beneficial benefit, okay, to the investigation. Hey, that's what I'm reading here.
That'll give him, yeah.
One of those devices was the magenta light, as you can see in the picture.
Are you sure that's not Magneta?
No, I said magenta.
Yeah. Look at Greg. He's done. He's cooked.
Greg is literally purple.
I know. He is purple.
He's not having a heart attack, is he?
I think he is.
I got bad lighting in here, man. It's bad lighting.
You're purple.
I'm all kinds of colors, man.
Charles wants to know, is it pre-recorded, Charles? No.
Yes, it is, Charles.
Yes,
all yes.
Pre-recorded.
Oh,
yes.
Time slip, no, my Charles, bad.
It is not pre-recorded, it is live. However, I didn't address your earlier comment because we're in the midst of a show and it's not the time or place, but we can talk about it afterwards. So,
Wow.
Yeah, people are worried about you, Greg. Greg's going to explode.
Yeah. Is Lynn around? Maybe she can start doing chest compressions.
People expect, credibility out of me.
That's what we have you from. Who?
From me.
Wait, when did this start?
Yeah, I thought that's why you had me on the show.
You are. You are the credibility.
That's right.
Greg, oxygen, get some. That's what Jessica says.
You're the credibility.
Yeah, you're the credibility, Italy. All right, let's go to the captain of credibility. He's got a story to share. But
is it my turn?
We have another email.
Oh,
this comes from
Greg. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
A couple years back, my cousin Katie passed away from a drug overdose. A couple days after her funeral, she visited me twice in my dreams. The first dream, we were outside my house talking like we used to. She used to live up the street from me. We grew up together. The second dream, we were in a room talking again. This time, she said the people in the big room out there looked sad and asked me to go look. And when I did, it was her funeral all over again. Do you think she needed help to the other side and didn't know she had passed away? Thanks a lot, Ross. That's a very deep, scare me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a deep question in many ways. Dream visitations are often believed to be the easiest way for spirits to communicate, especially quickly after death. She may have been in a confused state. We can only hope that because maybe that was the last time she visited, she realized her own mortality. Maybe she did cross over. All we can do is, put out prayer for her that if she's still lost, that God will open the light for her, bring her forward. The angels will escort her home. Family and friends can come through that portal to gather her. That's all we can hope for, Ross. But it just very well may be that she was dealing with the loss. Now, it's also interesting because I've said that in my belief system that people ask about, do I believe in heaven and hell? And I've been talking about this a lot more lately. I believe hell is going to be that reveal of your life, but you're going to have to live the moments of everybody that you ever hurt. You're going to live those moments for them to feel that pain and realize how deep it went into their psyche and into their world and how it will impact and affect them going forward. I believe heaven on the other side will be getting to relive all the amazing moments and seeing the joy and happiness and love that you've brought to the world. So try to fill your life with that. Maybe she was, because of her drug addiction, maybe she was forced to face this aspect of her mortality to realize the impact that her death was having on the people around her because of her drug issues. So that could be part of what was going on. Ross, there's no one clear definitive answer, and I hope that maybe something will give you a little light out of that.
Hey, Dave, question.
Sure.
Isn't there a belief that...
Marty, can you put it in an email? That's how we prefer to do these things.
Oh.
Yeah. No, no, go
Hold
ahead.
Hold on, I'm typing it now.
Okay. Dave.
Yeah. Is there a belief that... after you die, there's a certain number of days that you are actually hanging around just to kind of see what's going on with your family, if they're okay.
Yeah. There's different belief systems and different religions and backgrounds. Some say it's 3 days. Some say it's up to 30. That's another reason that the wake would often take 3 days. The viewing would be 3 days. so that your soul would have a chance to make its rounds and see everybody, and then it could cross over clearly. There's also a belief that you're truly conscious for up to 3 hours after death, so mm-hmm. that there is an awareness there. So, you know, I'm reminded of when my mom passed away. I broke down and cried for a few minutes, but then it was a lot of laughter and talking about the funny things and the wonderful moments that mom brought to us. So I'm hoping that that was what ushered her out, was the sound of our love and laughter together. But I've heard that Deb from SAC says it's 2 months. That's another version of it.
Yeah.
Two months.
60 days.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So yep. Catholic says 3 days. Jamie says, I swear that after my dad passed, I got a photo of him checking in on me. Very cool. Let's see. Yeah. Donna says, yes, Marty. Usually I find they hang around until just after the funeral. Yeah. Yeah, 3 days according to the Torah, according to Charles Wagner. So, all right, I see we've got some nasty people in our chat, so I'll be blocking them. You've got a story to share with us there, Mr. Lawson. So why don't you take us?
Is it my turn?
Yeah, we'll let you wrap it up with that. Yeah.
Wow. Let's do this. Vengeful ghost of Greenbrier helped solve its own murder. 126 mm-hmm. years ago, Elva Zona Hester Shue, wife mm-hmm. of Erasmus Stribling's Trout Shue.
Mm. Who's Erasmus?
Mm. Yeah,
this again?
Erasmus.
Yeah.
Was found dead in her home from what was initially ruled natural causes. The following trial would make U.S. history. According to the Monroe Watchman via West Virginia Archives and History, Elva was found dead in her home in Greenbrier County by a local boy that Erasmus had sent to ask her what she wanted from the market. Erasmus mm-hmm. and doctors quickly arrived after being notified, but Elva was unable to be resurrected.
Yes.
Represented.
It was unable to be resurrected by a doctor, and was requested to desist from further examination by Erasmus. Mm-hmm. Elva was placed in a dress with a high, stiff collar and was taken to a nearby cemetery where she was buried with an uncertain cause of death. According to the Greenbrier Independent via West Virginia Archives and History, mm-hmm. in the weeks following Elva's death, Mary J. Hester, mother of the late Elva, claimed that she had a vision from the spirit of her daughter, claiming that she told me that her neck was squeezed off at the first joint. Following this testimony, Elva's body was exhumed for a post-mortem examination to attempt to verify the cause of death. Upon examination, it was found that the body had a crushed windpipe and broken neck, likely caused by natural causes. Okay, yeah. Not likely caused by strangulation.
Yeah, that's okay. A natural
cause. Sorry, the jury only took an hour following Mary's testimony to return a verdict of murder in the first degree, sentencing old Erasmus to the state penitentiary for life. He would later die only after 3 years of serving his sentence due to the flu epidemic of 1900. Greenbrier, West Virginia says that the motive was never found, but that Erasmus had a history of a hot temper. And one account claims that he had abused one of his previous wives. A state highway marker that you see right there was erected to commemorate the cause of the case, noting that it was the only case that it was known a testimony of a ghost help
push through
a murderer.
Come on.
We'll get there, man. We'll get there. We're almost there.
Amazing. This sign is right there in the town. It says Greenbrier ghost interred in nearby cemetery is Zona Hester Shue. Her death in 1897 was presumed natural until her spirit appeared to her mother to describe how she was killed by her husband, Edward. Autopsy on the exhumed body verified the apparition's account. Edward, found guilty of murder, was sentenced to the state prison. This is the only known case in which testimony from a ghost helped convict a murderer.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not cool.
Well, yeah. But yeah, you know, I bet you that's
well, it's true. A lot though, if of it's times in the plaque, where, if it's yeah. in a plaque, it's true.
Yeah, that's true.
That's me. It's in the plaque.
I like how you guys did that.
A little know, ping pong there. Yeah, don't know about that so much. Yeah. Well, this is it, guys. We are ready. I'm going to be back Monday night live with all of you, our listeners. Tuesday, we're going to pre-record news for Friday, so I'll get to see these three lovely fellows then. And then Wednesday, Chachi, the Colonel, and I are Miami bound. We're going to be mm-hmm. heading out to Miami and hanging out for a night. We're leaving Thursday on the cruise. We're going to have a great time. We hope to meet all of you that signed up on that cruise. Please make your That's way right. to see us. If you see us just hanging out anywhere, feel free to come up, get pictures, autographs, hug Marty, whatever you want. We are there for your disposal, I'm especially not a hugger. Marty.
I like no. the heaters. Disposal?
I'm not a Greg hugger. Is, no. Greg is not much of a hugger. Hey, guys, one more quick thing. Unexplainable. Eerie England Supernatural Journey with me and Neil Story is coming up. You can join me and historian Neil Story as we lead you through the most impressively haunted and supernaturally ignited destinations England has to offer. We'll be collaborating with one of the premier paranormal conferences and the Festival of the Unknown. So not only do you get to do a really cool tour of England with Neil Story and myself, we're going to be going to a paranormal conference. And your cost of admission to this tour gets you into the Festival of the Unknown. It is September 12th through the 21st. We would love for you to join us. You can get more information by going to darknessevents.com. If you are listening or watching from the UK and just want to go just to the Festival of the Unexplained, check out festivaloftheunexplained.com. Festivaloftheunexplained.com. Single tickets for that event are almost sold out. So hopefully we'll get a chance to meet you out.
You know, Dave, I went to the last one and it was mm-hmm. absolutely amazing. I was like one of the, I'd been to England before, mm-hmm. but going with your group just made it so much better, so much funner.
And Neil Story is one of the most dapper dressers you will ever meet. Huh?
We were there photos. In June. We were there in June.
Right.
When he wore a wool tweed jacket,
yep.
wool tweed vest,
yep.
constant and a tie. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I give that guy credit. I was sweating wearing nothing more than bikini briefs and my
I remember that day.
Yeah, that was pretty
moist beast.
That's what I was. That's what I was.
Hey, guys, don't forget the Paranormal 60 t-shirts are here. If you'd like to get one, we have them in sizes small all the way up to adult 5X. Prices are $25 to $30. The larger the size, the more the shirt cost. Then we have shipping in the United States only at this point. One shirt, $8. Two shirts, $9. Three shirts, $10 for shipping. Four shirts or more, $12 and up from there. If you're interested, email me, dave@paranormal60.com. That's dave@paranormal60.com. Include your full name, your shipping address, your email address, what size shirt you want, which design on the back you'd like. Don't scare me, I poop easily. Words is hard, Darkling, or Paranormal Talk Radio. If you choose one of those designs, when we send out the invoice to you via PayPal, all you have to do is pay it. We'll send it out, and you'll be good to go. And the shirts will be out to you within about 2 to 3 weeks of you paying. So email me, dave@paranormal60.com. You can also go check out paranormal60.com. Click on the store tab at the top of the page, and there you can find all the cool stuff, including the Paranormal 60 2023 protection and energy bracelets. Yes, Chachi, you have something
you have
to
a
share?
Paranormal 60 shirt that has Moist Beast on it?
I don't. Do you?
I do.
No, you just have a hashtag Moist Beast shirt.
Oh, is that different?
Yes. Weird. We should.
It's, weird. You know, it's kind of along that that lines, but not quite.
Next week we'll have an auction for my Moist Beast shirt. How's that?
Wow, there you go.
I won't even wash it. How's that? Oh, after a night of drinking, you want this shirt?
Oh, you will love that shirt.
It's all yours, Dave. I know you're going to be the high bidder.
Oh, I'll be high, all right. I don't think that's the right thing to do. Thanks for tuning in, folks. The Paranormal 60 News, The X-Files, Evil Dead, and We Have a Ghost Edition. Thank you for tuning in and spending your time with the the swellest bunch of guys I've ever had a chance to call friends. We'll be back again with you next week, right here on the Paranormal 60.
Friday night and I'm alone. The Paranormal 60's on. It's just for paranormal freaks like me, with poltergeists and ghosts and blues and UAPs. You miss a word, you do a shot. It starts to snowball and we laugh a lot. It's just like drinking with your TV friends. I'll be passed out before tonight's show ends. Dreaming the aliens are taking me away. I won't wake up, the song I played on Saturday. It's Friday night and I'm alone. The Paranormal 60's on. Schrader's on. Schrader's on. Schrader's on. Shachi and the Colonel and the Paranormal Detective always read his copy and they all will be directed. He's got protective bracelets and some crazy magic tricks. Even Scully cannot save him from the voice of Stevie Nicks. Schrader's on. Schrader's on. Friday night, don't be alone. The Paranormal 60's on. No one day Dave might even put me on his show. There's a ghost in my mom's basement, man, I live down there, I know. It's Friday night, don't be alone. The Paranormal 60's on. Schrader's on. Words is on.